And when Jesus had said these things, this is Luke 19, he went on ahead, going up to Jerusalem. And it happened when he drew near to Bethphage and Bethany, that's two little villages just outside Jerusalem, at the Mount of Olives, he sent two of the disciples, saying, "Go into the village in front of you. On entering it, you'll find a colt tied up." Now, a colt is a young donkey, on which no one has ever yet sat. "Untie it and bring it here." Now, you have to train donkeys to let people ride on them, because animals don't naturally like a human being plonked on top of them. And if they've never had a person sitting on them, they, for the first time, they start bucking and jumping and leaping about, trying to throw the person off them. So it's not very sort of graceful to sit on a donkey that hasn't been ridden before, on a colt, because they're trying to throw you off and people will look at you. And it's not at all like sitting on a charger, on a mature horse or even a mature donkey that's been used to having people sitting on them. So to sit on a colt on which no one has ever sat, that means that it's probably going to be trying to throw you off. Jesus went on, he said, "Untie the colt and bring it here. And if anyone asks you, why are you untying him? You're to say, the Lord has need of him." So I expect that the people who were looking after the donkey knew that Jesus was Lord. "So they that were sent went away, and they found, as he had said it to them, they found this colt, this young donkey, tied up. And as they were untying the colt, the owners of it said to them, 'Why do you untie the colt?' And they said, 'The Lord has need of him.' And so they let them. And they brought it to Jesus. And they threw their clothes on the colt, on the young donkey, and sat Jesus on it. And as he went, they spread their clothes on the road." Well, as I say, the young donkey would have been jumping and trying to throw Jesus off, and it wouldn't have been a very dignified entry into Jerusalem. Now, normally, the king or the great person rode very slowly in a very dignified, grand manner on a large horse, not on a donkey, let alone on a young donkey that no one has ever sat on. Of course, there's another way of looking at this, and when you read the Bible, you can imagine sometimes all sorts of different possibilities as to how to understand it. It could be that because Jesus was so sensitive and so lovely as a person, that this young donkey did not try to throw him off. Just like the lions who were starving hungry didn't try to eat Daniel when he was thrown into the den of lions. So maybe Jesus just, with a look, could just, or with a little pat on the head, made friends with this animal, and therefore it allowed him to ride on it. That's another option. What we've got to do is to try to imagine it, because Jesus is real. Jesus is in heaven now, and he really was on the earth, and he really did ride this colt, this young donkey, just outside Jerusalem. It all really happened. Anyway, as he was drawing near, at the descent of the hill of the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works which they had seen, saying, "Blessed is the King that comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." So they saw Jesus as he was sitting on that young donkey as their king. But in the eyes of the world, that would have been a joke. How can a king sit on a donkey? Why, if he's a king, he should sit on a big, powerful horse. But he sits on a donkey, not even on a donkey, but on a young donkey on which nobody's ever sat. And as I said, it's possible the young donkey was trying to throw him off and was meandering all over the place, not walking in a straight line. And yet, that shows how Jesus was humble. And it shows, in a sense, how God is humble, because he was God's son. And we should be humble because Jesus is humble.
going to be on a very good, powerful horse, but he wasn't expecting him to be quite powerful, great-looking horse.
That's right. It's rather like if there was a new king or prime minister, and there was a great procession taking this new king, this new ruler into power, he'd probably be driven in a very expensive brand new car. We'd all be a bit surprised if he rode on an old motorbike, a very small motorbike, that kept pop, pop, popping, and it kept stalling itself, and then he had to keep starting it again. Then he went a bit further, and oh, it's broken down again. Oh, a bit further, and it's broken down again. We would expect the king or the leader to come in a great procession of expensive black cars, etc. So Jesus is humble, and he really loves humility. And the problem with human beings is that we're proud, and all of us are. Even when we're little, we're proud. We can be proud. I did this. Look at me. I ran the race quickest. I won and you lost. And it's that pride which we have all our lives, and it's that which we fight against. And that is where we as Christians are different, because we realize we've got that pride and we try to restrain ourselves. Well, some of the Pharisees from the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." They were so excited. But he answered and said, "I tell you that if these should be quiet, the stones would cry out." And when he drew near, he saw the city, and he wept over it. He cried. Well, again, that's not what you expect from a king. You expect a king to come in glory and self-control and make a great, powerful speech. But instead, Jesus comes to Jerusalem, his city. It's the city of the great king. It's the city where he's going to be the ruler when he sits on the throne of his father David. But he bursts into tears. This is not what they would typically expect from a great king or ruler. And he cried over Jerusalem and said, "If you had only known in this day, even you, the things which belong to your peace, but now they are hid from your eyes. For the days will come on you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side." This happened in AD 70 when the Romans attack Jerusalem, and it will happen even worse in the last days. "And they will dash you to the ground, and your children within you, and they will not leave in you one stone upon another. All this will happen because you did not realize the time of your visitation." And he entered into the temple, and Jesus began to throw out those that were selling there, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house will be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." He was teaching every day in the temple. But the chief priests and the scribes and the leading men of the people tried to destroy him. So, we really learn from this the lesson of being a humble king, that God sees things differently than how people generally see it. That, oh yes, you should be proud, you should boast, I've got this, I'm so good, I've got this wonderful new toy, I've been on this expensive holiday, I've got this really good new car, new computer or whatever. This is all human pride. And Jesus is so different. He was so humble. And as Paul says later on in the New Testament, it was because he was so humble that he has been lifted up to the highest possible place.